Good evening. I'm Adrian Sala, and tonight I'll be reading to you about Steve Irwin, also known as the Crocodile Hunter. Irwin was an Australian zookeeper, conservationist, TV personality, wildlife expert, and environmentalist. Known for his enthusiasm and passion for nature, he was stung in the chest by a stingray off the coast of Australia in what many have called a one-in-a-million strike that pierced his heart. Initially believing it was simply a pierced lung, he died before he reached shore. Stephen Robert Irwin was born on February 22, 1962, in what happened to be his mother Lynn's 20th birthday. His father's name was Bob, and the family lived in Upper Ferntree Gully, a suburb of Melbourne, in Australia. His parents were both of English and Irish descent, with some Swedish on his mother's side. The family moved to Queensland in 1970, where Irwin attended the Landsborough State School and Caloundra State High School. After moving to Queensland, his parents started the small Queensland Reptile and Fauna Park, where Steve grew up around crocodiles and other reptiles. He described his father as a wildlife expert interested in herpetology, while his mother was a wildlife rehabilitator. He became involved with the park in a number of ways, including taking part in daily animal feeding, as well as care and maintenance activities. On his 6th birthday, he was given a 12-foot scrub python. When he was just 9 years old, he began handling crocodiles and wrestled his first crocodile under his father's supervision. He worked as a volunteer for Queensland's East Coast Crocodile Management Program and captured over 100 crocodiles, some of which were relocated while others were housed at the family park. Irwin took over management of the park from his parents in 1991 and renamed it Australia Zoo in 1998. Also in 1991, Irwin met Terry Raines, an American naturalist from Eugene, Oregon, who was visiting wildlife rehabilitation facilities in Australia and had decided to visit the zoo. According to the couple, it was love at first sight. Terry said at the time, "I thought there was no one like this anywhere in the world." He sounded like an environmental Tarzan, a larger-than-life superhero guy. They were engaged 4 months later and married in Eugene, Oregon on June 4, 1992. Together, they had 2 children, a daughter, Bindi Sue Irwin, born on July 24, 1998, and a son, Robert Clarence Irwin, born on December 1, 2003. Bindi Sue is jointly named after 2 of Steve Irwin's favorite animals, Bindi, a saltwater crocodile, and Sue, a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. Robert is named after Irwin's father Bob and Terry's father Clarence. Irwin once described his daughter Bindi as the reason he was put on the earth, and his wife Terry said, "The only thing that could ever keep him away from the animals he loves are the people he loves even more." Irwin frequently said that if he was going to be remembered for anything, he hoped that it would be for being a good father. Although the Irwins were happily married, they did not wear wedding rings, since they believed that in their line of work, wearing jewelry could pose a hazard to them or to the animals. Steve and Terry spent their honeymoon trapping crocodiles together. Film footage of their honeymoon, taken by John Stanton, became the first episode of what would become the wildly successful show, The Crocodile Hunter. The series debuted on Australian TV screens in 1996 and made its way onto North American television the following year. The Crocodile Hunter became successful in the United States, the UK, and over 130 other countries, reaching 500 million people. Irwin's exuberant and enthusiastic presenting style, broad Australian accent, signature khaki shorts, and catchphrase "Crikey" became known worldwide. After The Crocodile Hunter, Irwin went on to star in other Animal Planet documentaries, including Croc Files, The Crocodile Hunter Diaries, and New Breed Vets. Animal Planet also created the annual Croc Week Marathon, which lasted a full week in the middle of June every year from 2000 to 2007. In 1998, Irwin broadened his television work, collaborating with director Mark Strickson to present The 10 Deadliest Snakes in the World. As his celebrity grew, he appeared on several episodes of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Under his leadership, his operations grew to include the zoo, the television series, the Steve Irwin Conservation Foundation, and the International Crocodile Rescue. Improvements to the Australian Zoo included the Animal Planet Crocoseum, the Rainforest Aviary, and the Tiger Temple. Prior to his death, he revealed that he was also considering opening an Australia Zoo in Las Vegas and possibly other sites around the world. In 2001, Irwin appeared in a cameo role in the Eddie Murphy film Dr. Dolittle 2, in which an alligator warns Dolittle that he knows Irwin is going to grab him and is prepared to attack when he does. But Dolittle fails to warn Irwin in time. Irwin's only starring feature film role was in 2002's The Crocodile Hunter Collision Course, which was released to mixed reviews. In the film, Irwin, who portrayed himself and performed numerous stunts, mistakes some CIA agents for poachers. He sets out to stop them from capturing a crocodile, which, unknown to him, has actually swallowed a tracking transmitter. The film won Best Family Feature Film Award for a comedy film at the Young Artist Awards. On January 2, 2004, Irwin held his one-month-old son, Robert, in his arm while hand-feeding a chicken carcass to Murray, a 3.8-meter saltwater crocodile. The infant was close to the crocodile, and comparisons were made in the press to Michael Jackson's dangling his son outside a German hotel window. In addition, some child welfare groups, animal rights groups, and some of Irwin's television viewers criticized his actions as irresponsible and tantamount to child abuse. Irwin apologized on the US NBC show Today. But both he and his wife publicly stated that Irwin was in complete control of the situation, as he had dealt with crocodiles since he was a small child, and based on his lifetime of experience, neither he nor his son was in any danger. Irwin also shared footage of the event from a different angle, demonstrating that they were much farther away from the crocodile than they had appeared in the publicized clip. Terry said that their child was in no more danger than one being taught to swim. No charges were filed, but according to one journalist, Irwin told officials he would not repeat the action. The incident prompted the Queensland government to change its crocodile handling laws, banning children and untrained adults from entering crocodile enclosures. Irwin was a passionate conservationist and believed in promoting environmentalism by sharing his excitement about the natural world rather than preaching to people. He was concerned with conservation of endangered animals and land clearing leading to loss of habitat. He considered conservation to be the most important part of his work, saying, "I consider myself a wildlife warrior. My mission is to save the world's endangered species." He bought large tracts of land in Australia, Vanuatu, Fiji, and the United States, which he described as like national parks, and stressed the importance of people realizing that they could each make a difference. He established the Steve Irwin Conservation Foundation, which became an independent charity, and was later renamed Wildlife Warriors Worldwide. He also helped found International Crocodile Rescue, the Lynn Irwin Memorial Fund, named in memory of his mother, who died in an automobile accident in 2000, and the Iron Bark Station Wildlife Rehabilitation Facility. He urged people to take part in conscious tourism and not support illegal poaching through the purchase of items such as turtle shells and shark fin soup. Sir David Attenborough was a huge inspiration to him. When presenting a Lifetime Achievement Award to Attenborough after Irwin's death at the British National Television Awards on October 31st, 2006, Terry Irwin said, "If there's one person who directly inspired my husband, it's the person being honored tonight. Steve's real, true love was conservation, and the influence of tonight's recipient in preserving the natural world has been immense." Attenborough reciprocated by praising Irwin for introducing many to the natural world, saying, "He taught them how wonderful and exciting it was." Like many Australians, Irwin was an avid cricket fan. This was seen during his visit to Sri Lanka, where he played cricket with some local children and said, "I love cricket, and it's a shame we have to go catch some snakes now." Having grown up in Essendon, he was a fan of the Essendon Bombers, an Australian rules football club in the Australian Football League. He took part in an Aussie rules football promotion in Los Angeles as part of Australia Week in early 2006. Having lived in Queensland for most of his life, he was also a fan of rugby league. As a teenager, he played for the Caloundra Sharks as a second rower. And as an adult, he was known to be a passionate Brisbane Broncos fan and was involved with the club on several occasions. On one such occasion, after turning up to training, he asked if he could tackle the largest player, Shane Webke. Despite being thrown to the ground and looking like he'd been crushed, he was jovial about the experience. Irwin was also involved in several media campaigns. He enthusiastically joined with the Australian Quarantine and Inspection Service to promote Australia's strict quarantine requirements, with advertisements and posters featuring slogans such as, "Quarantine matters, don't muck with it." His payments for these advertising campaigns were directed into his wildlife fund. In 2004, he was appointed ambassador for the GAN, the passenger train running from Adelaide to Alice Springs in the Central Australian outback, when the line was extended all the way to Darwin on the northern coast that year. And for some time, he was sponsored by Toyota. Irwin was a keen promoter for Australian tourism in general, and Queensland tourism in particular. In 2002, the Australian Zoo was voted Queensland's top tourist attraction. His immense popularity in the United States meant he often promoted Australia as a tourist destination there. In November 2003, Irwin was filming a documentary on sea lions off the coast of Baja California in Mexico when he heard via his boat's radio that two scuba divers were reported missing in the area. He and his entire crew suspended operations to aid in the search. His team's divers searched with the rescue diver, and Irwin used his vessel to patrol the waters around the island where the incident occurred, as well as use his satellite communication system to call in a rescue plane. On the second day of the search, kayakers found one of the divers, Scott Jones, perched on a narrow rock ledge jutting out of the side of a cliff. Irwin and his crew member escorted him to the team's boat. The other lost diver, Katie Vrooman, was found by a search plane later the same day not far from Jones's location, but sadly, she did not survive. On September 4th, 2006, Erland was filming in the Great Barrier Reef with Philippe Cousteau Jr. He was at Bat Reef near Port Douglas, Queensland, taking part in the production of the documentary series Ocean's Deadliest. While swimming in chest-deep water, Erwin approached a short-tail stingray with an approximate span of 2 meters from the rear in order to film it swimming away. The stingray suddenly propped on its front and started stabbing Erwin wildly with its tail, striking him in the chest. Erwin initially believed that he only had a punctured lung. However, the stingray's barb had in fact pierced his heart, causing him to bleed to death. Crew members aboard his boat administered CPR and rushed him to the nearby Low Isles, where medical staff pronounced him dead. His death was met with shock and grief by fans, the media, governments, and nonprofit organizations. In 2007, a special episode of The Crocodile Hunter was made in tribute to him called Crikey, What an Adventure, an intimate look at the life of Steve Erwin. Later that year, his daughter Bindi released the documentary My Daddy, The Crocodile Hunter, in Erwin's memory. Both of his children have gone on to become television personalities, conservationists, and zookeepers. Bindi has appeared on Dancing with the Stars and other programs, while her brother Robert, aged just 18, appears to be following in his father's footsteps. He is often noted by fans to share physical similarities with his late father. On February 16, 2017, he made his late-night television debut when he appeared on NBC's The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon. He presented an African dwarf crocodile, a screaming armadillo, a red-tailed boa, and a sloth to Fallon. He has subsequently gone on to appear on The Tonight Show on multiple occasions, showcasing a different selection of animals each time. Robert Erwin is also an avid photographer and the leading contributor to the Australia Zoo Crikey magazine, and has embarked on many photography expeditions around the globe. A private funeral service took place on September 9th, 2006, and Erwin was buried in a private ceremony at Australia Zoo later that same day. A public memorial service was held at the zoo's 5,500-seat Crocoseum on September 30th of that year. This service was broadcast live, and it is estimated to have been seen by over 300 million viewers worldwide. Steve Erwin was just 44 years old when he died.